Last week we started a series on the Shema, section of verses from the Old Testament as well as the New, this idea of the greatest commandment. And really what we're doing through this series is talking about what it means to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Today I'm going to talk about the soul. Soul work is deep work, and it's really hard, and it can be really difficult. I think it's something that should be done slowly. You might be catching my drift on that here this morning already. There's a story about a Christian missionary in China named John Stamm. 1934, John and his wife Betty were captured by communist soldiers, and they were given a choice: deny Christ and live, or remain faithful and die. Without hesitation, John replied to them, "We belong to Christ." Soldiers marched them to the town square and executed them. Why would somebody be willing to give their life so freely? Their souls belonged entirely to God. They loved Him above their own safety, above their own comfort, and even their lives. Jesus commands us in Matthew 22, verse 37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." So what's it mean to love God with all your soul? Well, today I'd like to walk through some of those, talking about what the soul is, why it matters, how some of the early church fathers understood loving God with all the soul, and how we can live it out in our daily life. Greek word for soul, psyche, refers to our inner self, the eternal part of us. It's what defines who we truly are. Think about a story. A young boy, he once went to the ocean with his grandfather, and as they stood on the shore, the grandfather pointed to the horizon and he said, "The soul is like the sea. It's deep, it's vast, drawn to something greater." The boy asked, "Drawn to what?" The grandfather smiles and says, "To God. Your soul will never be satisfied until it finds Him." I regularly quote St. Augustine in my benedictions, but he had a truth beautifully expressed in his Confessions, where he says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." Our soul's desire is for God. Lots of times we try to fill it with other things because we don't know what we're looking for. Psalm 42, verse 1 through 2, it says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." I can think about a parched traveler lost in the desert. No matter how much gold or treasure they might carry, none of it matters if they don't have water or if they don't find it quickly enough. In the same way, our soul's thirst can only be quenched by God's presence. But there can be a danger to this, because we might be pursuing God. We might know that our soul longs for God, but we might also have a divided soul in that sense. You know, if we love God with only part of our soul, we leave room for idolatry, allowing success or pleasure or comfort to take priority over God. Another early theologian named Origen warned us of this. He says, "He who understands that the whole of his soul must be given to God will not divide it between God and the world." So what's this mean? It means that loving God with all of our soul means surrendering everything. Desires, plans, and identity to God. I'm bringing a lot of church fathers into this. Last year, I started teaching at Moody Aviation a January term church history course. It was something I studied pretty in-depth during my master's program at seminary, and I've started over the last month teaching it again. And so it's on the front of my mind pretty regularly, every Friday from 1 to 4, and none of the rest of the week. So here's how some of the church fathers understood what it meant to love God with all the soul. The first one is St. Irenaeus. Said the soul's purpose is to glorify God. Irenaeus lived from about 130 to 202 and said this: "The glory of God is man fully alive, and the life of man is the vision of God." He wrote this line as part of a section of writings against heresies that the church was fighting early on. Take a moment with that and think about this. Imagine an old violin in a dusty attic. It might look worthless until a master musician picks it up and plays a beautiful melody. Our souls are created to glorify God, and when we do, we become fully alive because the right person has picked up the instrument and played it the way it's supposed to be. That's how Irenaeus thought about it. Another one of my favorites is St. Basil of Caesarea, or Basil the Great. He said the soul must be pure for God. His quote, he lived from about 329 to 379. He was very important in our understanding of how the Trinity worked and wrote pretty extensively on the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit was an equal part of the Trinity. He said, "The soul that is not disturbed by earthly passions will reflect the light of God, just as a calm sea reflects the sun." Think about some of my growing up and some of the lakes we went to in eastern Oregon. My best memory is I did a camping trip with all of my close friends in high school, and we went to Badger Lake. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Badger Lake, but we took the back roads, and our car was not quite... I wish we'd had a thinner car, if that makes sense. Some of those winding roads to get there filled my heart with trepidation. But I think about how a still lake reflects the sky perfectly. But when it's disturbed, it becomes murky, it becomes tumultuous. And when our soul is distracted by sin and anxiety or worldly desires, we struggle to reflect God. St. Basil of Caesarea. Finally, St. John Chrysostom. He said, "True love is shown in obedience." He lived around 347 to 407. His quote says, "Do you wish to honor the body of Christ? Do not ignore him when he is naked. Do not honor him here in the church with silks, only to neglect him outside when he is cold and suffering." Think about someone who prays passionately every morning, but ignores their struggling neighbor. True love for God is not just in worship, but in action, serving others with a soul devoted to God. So as we think about this, as we think about applying, we can ask ourselves a couple of questions. Are we living fully for God? Or is our soul divided? Are we allowing the world's distractions to weaken our devotion? If I think about that for more than 5 seconds, I'm not sure that I appreciate the answer that comes back. So here's some practical ways to love God with all your soul. Firstly, to worship with your whole being. You know, we sing here on Sunday mornings, we pray, but worship isn't just singing, it's not just praying, it's an expression of our soul's devotion to God. Augustine, another quote from him, he says, "He who sings prays twice." You know, a lot of our faith, the way that the body of Christ interacts with God makes me think about my own marriage, right? If I love my wife, I don't just tell her once. I express it daily. True love for God is demonstrated in consistent worship and gratitude. Worship with your whole being. Secondly, pursue God above all else. Loving God with all your soul means seeking Him above money, relationships, personal success. St. Basil of Caesarea was somewhere down the line in 11 kids, and he had two other siblings who were pretty influential in the church world, and one of them was his brother, who was Gregory of Nyssa. He was a bit of a recluse. He didn't really like people, but Basil kind of bullied him into being a bishop, so he found some purpose there other than writing in a cave. But St. Gregory, he said this, "The soul's true purpose is to be united with its Creator in perfect love. When we pursue God above all else, that's where we go." So worship God with our whole being, pursuing God above all else, also living a life of obedience, right? Jesus says in John 14, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, I think about a knight swearing loyalty to a king. They obey the commands of the king, not out of duty, but also out of love and devotion. We live a life of obedience. Finally, we trust God in trials. I think most everyone in here has had a trial at some point in their life, right? True love for God is tested in suffering. Psalm 62, verse 1, it says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him." A story about Ignatius of Antioch, another saint. As he was led to execution, he wrote, "Now I begin to be a disciple. Let fire and the cross, let wild beasts, let all the torments of the devil come upon me. Only let me reach Christ." So do we love God only when life is easy? Are we surrendering our soul to Him daily? Are we making Him our greatest treasure and purpose? Augustine said, "Love God and do as you will." Because when our soul is fully given to God, everything we do will glorify Him. When our soul is fully given to God, everything we do will glorify Him. Pray with me. Holy God, help us to love you with all our soul. May we worship you passionately, seek you above all else, and remain faithful, no matter the cost. Amen.